Avalon Center's podcast, Responding with Hope, is paid for by the Department of Social Services. Avalon Center offers emergency shelter, individual and group counseling, and much more to survivors of domestic and sexual assault. If you need help, call our 24-hour hotline at 833-537-0970 or visit us at avaloncenter.org.
Here we go. Hello. Welcome to Avalon's podcast, Responding with Hope. I am your host, Leslie Jingleski, and today I'm honored to be having a conversation with one of our biggest community partners, Robbie Willie. Did I say that right?
Yeah, you got it.
Robbie Willie. Robbie's a co-founder of our own Virginia Beer Company, and as always, it's a pleasure to connect with you. We had some trouble on the way out, but we're finally here, right?
I'm very excited to get to talk to you, and you don't have to twist my arm to talk about good beer and good community connection, so I'm glad to be here.
Well, we appreciate it, and the partnership that we have is so important to us, but before we get into that, I mean this genuinely, I am fascinated with the VBC story. So can you tell us a little bit about that for people that are listening?
Yeah, absolutely. We are a now 7-year-old craft brewery located in the heart of Williamsburg's Edge District. I got the shirt on right here. So kind of a neighborhood on the outside of Colonial Williamsburg. And my business partner, Chris, and I and his wife, Erin, all met at William & Mary. So our story started as college students, and we stayed in touch. I was the best man at their wedding, and we fell in love with Williamsburg, but we also fell in love with the idea of working together, of doing something together. And that something ended up being wanting to open a craft brewery. And the thing that really got us into the craft beer industry was as we started to sample all these different beers that started popping up in the early 2000s, you know, the craft beer movement really hit the East Coast in the early 2000s. And we started sampling all these different flavors from all over the country and all over the world. And our passion and interest in the beverage is what sparked the initial concept. But then from there, it was every time we'd go to a craft beer bar in New York City, in Boston, in St. Louis, in Chicago, in Washington, D.C., or every time we go to a brewery in any of these cities, the community connection was so apparent. There were people enjoying beers together in generally responsible fashion. It was an educational experience, trying to learn about all these different flavors and these brewing styles. And then at the breweries themselves, seeing people from Brewery A hanging out at Brewery B, you know, people were friends. This was a very different experience than Chris and I were experiencing in our lives in the finance field. You know, obviously the people we worked with were great, but you didn't see people from finance company A necessarily hanging out with finance company B. It was a very different atmosphere. And so this idea of collegiality shared over a well-made small batch craft beer really stuck with us. And we started homebrewing separately. I was in the DC area. Chris was in New York and then Boston. And then his wife, Erin, graduated from veterinary school in 2012 and kind of gave us the green light to say, hey, if you guys are really going to pursue this, I've got one chance to go get a job as a veterinarian somewhere. And we all agreed that Williamsburg was that place. It was the place that brought us together. It was the place that first afforded us our first taste of craft beer, the Greenleaf in Williamsburg, which is still going strong. It was one of the first places to have more than just, you know, what you would commonly find on grocery store shelves and bars and restaurants at that time. So Williamsburg is what connected us, and we spent a lot of time volunteering for the college as alums. And so Chris and Erin moved back in summer of 2012, and I moved back in early 2014. And we thought the whole thing would come together a lot faster, but, you know, finally March 2016 came and we opened our doors and our taps, and we haven't looked back since.
So 2016 seems like yesterday, but it was not. You guys have been around for a while.
A lot has happened since then, that's for sure.
Yeah. And the pandemic, you guys thrived through that, got through it.
Everyone keeps asking what the experience has been like. And for us, I think every year has been so dramatically different than the year prior that it's been hard to look back and compare. It's apples to oranges. It's IPAs to stouts. It's a very different look year to year. So the pandemic was terrifying, and obviously it was really hard on all of us, but our team banded together and everyone was willing to jump in and do whatever was necessary to A, keep the lights on, but B, on our end as employers, we were willing to do what was necessary to make sure everyone stayed employed and stayed paid and had healthcare. And so it was a lot of shifting every couple of weeks. It was a lot of, you know, people taking on new experiences and new challenges, but it was definitely like a three musketeers, you know, all for one and one for all experience. And the community really came out in droves for us too. When we were only doing curbside to go, when we created our own little brew through, people came out in droves and waited in line in cars. When we were offering local delivery, people ordered and tipped on their own without us asking to help us support our staff. And then we kind of naturally, you know, just kept working through what we were allowed to do in a healthy and conscious environment. And lo and behold, now we're in 2023 and we're 7 years old and we're still going strong.
Yeah. It's an amazing story, and chaos is kind of your normal, right?
That's it. I mean, we're as nimble as we can be. And at the end of the day, we've got a beer waiting for us in the fridge to help us ease into the next day.
So I work in nonprofit professionally, and I think I can appreciate your mission more than most, but you have a slogan that I love. It's beer, people, purpose. Tell me how that originated.
Absolutely. We're really proud of that. And I'm not even sure you can see it. I have a beer glass here, but we proudly, you know, try to print beer, people, purpose on most of our glassware, and just trying to make sure that we are living it and promoting it. So the idea is, first of all, that the brewery goes beyond just me and Chris. Yes, the idea was sparked with us. You know, we had the first handshake. You know, we're the ones that created the LLC. But from there, this whole business would not be possible without our community of Virginia Beer Company, friends and family. So, you know, our from our operations manager, Lucy, to our sales director, Michael, to our brewmaster, Jonathan, we've tried to rely on this brain trust to help us evolve into a much better and a much more comprehensive business and community outpost. So Beer People Purpose was literally like our first management retreat after the brewery had been open and we'd kind of gotten settled into a little bit of a rhythm. Everyone getting together and saying like, how do we actually put this, what our mission is into a short phrase or sentence? How do we actually try to make it clear? And it was literally a group thing. You know, we came up with obviously beer, you know, people are important to us, both our people and the people who come in to share beers and cheers with us, as we say, and that purpose angle, because what we are trying to do is be a force for good in the form of a brewery. You know, Chris and I saw that community gathering space. We saw so many, not just brewery people spending time together, but the community rallying behind these breweries and using them as platforms to raise money, to raise awareness, just to get together and have a good and hopefully safe time together. And so we wanted to take that to the next level and say, let's use our brewery as a force for good. Let's make sure that we are championing causes with which or for which we are passionate. Let's make sure that we are supporting those and raising those up who need it most. And let's, you know, see if our beers can actually do some good. And whether it's just donating a portion of proceeds or it's giving people a platform, you know, we'll talk about that in a little bit. Just cross collaborations. So I think people come to breweries and they're looking for a good time, but it's also an opportunity for people to be educated on what's going on in their community and things that they might not be aware of and organizations they may not be familiar with. And so for us, the idea of beer, people, purpose takes that very lengthy sentence that I just threw out there, that very lengthy conversation, and tries to truncate it into like the simplest form, because that's what we're all about. We're all about doing good, brewing good, doing good. You know, we can say it a lot of different ways, but beer, people, purpose was a group concept, and it's really stuck with us for the past 6+ years now. And I can remember as a quick anecdote, it was when we first opened, Chris and I had moved back, and it took us almost 4 years to open the brewery between when they moved back in summer of 2012 and I moved back in 2014 and finally opening in 2016, you know, 4 years to create a business plan, to fundraise, to create a brewery identity, to find a brewmaster, to come up with recipes, to find the building. So that was time well spent. And what Chris and I dedicated ourselves to doing, knowing the Williamsburg atmosphere, first of all, we jumped right back into the alumni community and did our part to support William and Mary by joining the annual giving board. But from there, we were like, well, there's more to Williamsburg than William and Mary, and we have to learn the rest of the community. And so we started going to city council meetings and board of supervisors meetings and EDA meetings and just trying to network, even though we didn't have a business to our names. You know, we made Virginia Beer Company shirts on Custom Ink and walked around and people thought we were crazy. But the longer we were here and the more we went and supported other small businesses, you know, we tried to really ingratiate ourselves to Aleworks. Aleworks is kind of the OG craft brewery in Williamsburg. And so we went to Aleworks hat in hand and said, we're here to bolster the community, not to take away from your organization. And Aleworks welcomed us as the craft beer community does. And we've had the fortune to pay that forward and welcome other breweries that have come to town since 2016. But the idea that we immersed ourselves in the community on opening day, I recall someone pulling me aside and saying, I'm so happy for you all. Congratulations on a great opening day. And I'm so glad that your beer tastes good too, because we were rooting for you. We'll support you if the beer didn't taste good, but man, it makes it so much easier to support you if the beer is good, and it is good. So the whole point of the story being that, like, because we immersed ourselves in Williamsburg and we tried to promote positivity and supporting small business and getting involved in community organizations, that paid itself off on our opening day, because people came out in droves to say, hey, congratulations, you guys have proven that you're here to stay, and we want you to be here to stay. So, you know, you get out of the community what you put into it. And I think Williamsburg really does encapsulate that, both from a business and a nonprofit standpoint.
100%. Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. I couldn't have said it better either. And you know, going back on script, let's talk about our partnership in particular. And I think we can agree that our partnership is not really typical. Right? It's Avalon deals with very, very sensitive topics. So a partnership with a brewery is a new territory for both of us. Mm-hmm. But the project is really close to my heart, because I feel like it's a way to meet a massive group of our community that maybe we wouldn't otherwise reach. So I would love to hear your thoughts on that.
Absolutely. And I you know, I can say that I go, the organization goes back with Avalon. We've been hosting, you know, pop-up, you know, food and supplies drives and fundraisers. And it's all been very passive in the sense that, you know, Avalon has reached out and said, can we pop up in your tap room and just have a table and hand out pamphlets? And if people want to donate something, great. And if not, and in turn, we offer the space, and then we offer discounts on beer for anyone who's making a donation. And that's one way that the tap room can be used as a force for good. It's a very passive way to do it, but it's an easy way to kind of build a relationship. From there, being approached by yourself and Mary and others at Avalon to build a relationship, talking about, you know, board membership, something we're passionate about. You know, Chris and I both serve on a number of different boards. We want to put our money where our mouths are and actually, you know, get involved beyond just, you know, giving money and hosting people in the tap room. So with Avalon, we were excited for that opportunity, but I would say that, you know, there was definitely that almost squeamish moment of knowing, you know, what you all stand for and obviously how you try to support the community and the reputation that alcohol can have in, you know, domestic and sexual violence. And I know we've had many conversations about making sure that it was an agreed upon relationship that made sense for both parties, and that we could also message it in such a clear manner that there wouldn't be pushback, there wouldn't be angst. And I think we were both excited for the opportunity. And I think that's what we pride ourselves on most, is it's clear messaging, and it's using that force for good, that platform to educate people and to showcase something. So this was an opportunity to do so.
And I think I said it, Mary said it. If we can educate one person, just one person in this community about sexual assault and that topic that nobody loves to talk about. I don't love to talk about it. I wish we didn't have to talk about it, but we do. And if it helps one person, then I'm happy.
Yeah. And I think you nailed it on the head. It's definitely, it is a tough topic, right? Because, you know, Chris is on the board for Here for the Girls, for example, and everyone speaks about breast cancer and breast cancer research and breast cancer survivors. And we don't want to have to talk about that, but it is openly discussed, and it's something where we're all in it together. Let's support one another and be there for one another. And, you know, I'm on the board for Dreamcatchers, a therapeutic horseback riding center in Tueno. And that's something everyone can get behind. Let's support those who have special needs or disabilities, you know, veterans. There's so many opportunities there and with therapeutic horseback riding. And as you said, people don't want to discuss sexual violence or domestic violence. It's a very heavy subject. And I think that part of this partnership is to bring that to light and say that we need to have tough conversations. But, you know, it's not always about, and I think we'll get into this, it's not always about, you know, the after the back conversation. It's also about prevention and awareness. And that's really what this campaign is focused on, getting ahead of it and looking for the signs of it and, you know, being alert to this topic, because it's an important topic.
It's really important. And Oasis of Hope, I'm in love with the name. I, you know, we all kind of sat around at a round table. We were all involved. There it is. Isn't it beautiful? I love the label. I absolutely love it. It's beautiful. And it embraces everything. Oasis of Hope, you know, our tag is responding with hope and all of these things. And, you know, it was important. We launched like I did anything. You launched in April, and April is Sexual Assault Awareness Month. So you guys were kind enough to design this beautiful label. And then we've got the QR code that's on the can that sends your customers directly to our website. They have questions. So talk about this. Let's. Why was Oasis of Hope so important to you?
Well, I after you know, getting to know what the Avalon organization stands for, and obviously the people, many of the people who are in charge of actually running the day to day and fundraising and getting the word out, you know, getting to know the people and the organization. We've always said that we want our partnerships to be genuine, right? We feel like that's a big part of our business, is authenticity. Like, we've got a story to tell. We've got a reason to be in Williamsburg. We've there's a reason behind everything we do, and we want that beer people purpose. It's got to check one of those boxes. So this checks all of those boxes, the people behind Avalon, the organization itself, and then, you know, a high quality craft beer to hopefully bridge that gap and bring some new eyes onto, you know, what Avalon is and who you all are. And we also have folks in the tap room, in the brewery organization beyond just me and Chris, who are involved with Avalon. And they have, you know, raised their voices to say, we'd love to see more support for Avalon. So you've got this grassroots thing going on too. So anytime the team is behind it, not just because it's like, hey, this is the next release, but anytime the team is super passionate about something, they are going to sell it without us having to ask them to sell it. They're going to say, have you tried Oasis? Oh, have you gotten have you gotten behind this beer? You should, because it's doing a lot of good and it tastes great too. And I think the concept of the Oasis of Hope was trying to look at this from that idea of kind of a I don't know if positivity is the right word, but it's trying to be hopeful, to be optimistic. We called it a spring pale ale because it's got that kind of, you know, spring blossoms and turning the tide on a new season and bright and getting out of the dark. And so there's all these nuances to the name and to the logo, but the idea was that let's approach this from a positive standpoint and talk about awareness and talk about getting more people involved with Avalon and more people aware of Sexual Assault Awareness Month as an actual thing, because I think most people are probably not familiar with that. So I know that's a lot of things coming together at once, but it has multiple meanings. It's hopeful, it's positive, it's a community grassroots effort. It's getting exposure for Avalon to those who might not be familiar with the organization. All these positive focal points where obviously the conversation can obviously happen more frequently from a negative standpoint.
You know, we have this thing where, and it was, you know, a major marketing campaign, drink responsibly, right? Yeah. And drink responsibly. And everybody knows that campaign. But I think, you know, kind of going along this and maybe down a rabbit hole, but healthy relationships, you know, we don't need to talk about the negative. Let's talk about what healthy relationships are. Exactly. Let's talk about what these things we can do to be healthy and moving forward, therefore stomping it out.
Yeah, I think you took everything I said and put it in such a succinct manner. That was your beer people purpose moment. You know, it's like, let's talk about what healthy looks like. Let's talk about how to work towards that. Let's talk about how to look for that too. And then also obviously to spot the signs when you're not seeing that, right? And that's whether it's you or you're looking at someone else. Like, we should all be working towards those positive, healthy relationships.
Talk to me about the beer. I cannot describe it because I do not have the complicated palate that you do. So I would love to hear your description.
Well, I had to, of course, refresh my palate for the conversation to make sure I'm speaking from a position of education. So we love the idea of calling it a spring pale ale. You know, sometimes people will joke with us and say, you put a lot of nuances under your beer descriptions, right? Like, we just released for June our Pride IPA, right? And it's Friends of Birthday, and it's another cause we're super passionate about, working with Equality Virginia. But we call it a Pride IPA, which is not a technical beer style, right? But we like to add that flair of trying to tell people, what is this beer about? You know, people see a menu description, they see a label before they commit to trying the beer or buying the beer. So I think we agreed that putting spring pale ale on there, even though that a spring pale ale is not necessarily a specific style, I think it evokes, you know, it's going to be bright, it's going to be refreshing, it's going to be light, it's going to be easy going, and it's all those things. So it's a lower alcohol beer, just around 5%, very sessionable. You can sit and have one, enjoy yourself, and hopefully feel comfortable if you're drinking those macro beers that are out there. You know, the big boys and girls, they are typically around the 5% mark. So we wanted something that was in line with that for folks who might not be familiar with the pale ale. And then it has two types of hops in it: Mandarina, Bavaria, and Luminosa. And these are very bright, fruit forward hops. You know, a lot of our beers have a lot of fruity flavors, and it's mostly because of the hops. It's all natural agricultural products, and these hops, depending on where you use them, give off zesty notes. They give off tropical notes. And so this one is zesty, it's tropical, it's citrusy, it's very ambrosial. So it's actually really refreshing. And I would say that in and of itself, it tastes like a spring pale ale. Whatever you think that might be, I think it tastes like that. But it's great because it is, you can see it's a bright color. It looks great in a glass. And I think it's just, it's a fun, just easy to digest, easy to enjoy beer.
Yeah, I love it. In my world, we talk about consent a lot, kind of getting back to the tough conversations. We're teetering back and forth. But we talk about consent a lot. And what is consent? And going along with healthy relationships, let's talk about consent. I feel like in our conversations that this has been an important topic for you as well. So tell me a little bit about you and how this kind of goes back to your mission. We may be circling a little bit, but
yeah, no, absolutely. So for us, I mean, we know we are in the alcohol business, right? Like no matter what we're doing to be a force for good or a community gathering space. I mean, we always tell people you don't have to drink to come into our space. If you want to come out for the live music, the food trucks, the camaraderie, we do not charge a cover. We don't look at people and say, you haven't had a beer yet. We offer free sparkling and regular filtered water. We have a number of non-alcoholic products that we sell as well. So we try to make it as encompassing as possible. But the idea is that we want people to be comfortable in our space. It should be a safe space for all, whether you like beer or not, whether you drink beer or not. At the same time, we also, our team is instructed in ABC protocols and making sure that everyone is taking this on as both an experience of enjoyment, but also an experience of education. We want people to learn about beer styles. We want people to try and find their new favorite beer. We want people to get an educational component as part of this. But that all, again, comes back to the fact that we know we're brewing alcohol, we're selling alcohol. And so we have to make sure that people feel safe and that we are doing our part to make it a safe experience for others. So I think when it comes to consent too, it goes hand in hand with, are we doing our part to make the consumption of craft beer a safe and as responsible as possible, considering that there's alcohol in our products? Are we doing our part to send people out in the world after they visited us, knowing that they're going to make good decisions, that they're not going to make bad decisions, that we haven't done something to put someone in a position that they're going to do something they might regret or that someone else might regret? So it's weighty. I think anyone who works in the alcohol, right, whether it's distilleries or wineries or breweries or meaderies or bars and restaurants, you know, we know what we're selling, but there's a way to do it responsibly, to educate people, let someone know, hey, you just ordered a 10% beer. We're only going to pour that in a 10 ounce glass instead of a 16 ounce glass. And we're going to limit, you know, two pours per visit, that sort of thing. Like, we try to come up with ways to make sure we're doing our part. So it goes along with consent. You know, are people filled in? Do they feel like they are educated on the topic at hand? Do they know what they're getting themselves into? And so being able to have that discussion with an alcoholic beverage, I think, is important, because you know, alcohol shouldn't be seen as the root cause of a lot of things that are involved with sexual violence, but it can be part of the cause, and we want to have that discussion that it shouldn't be seen as the cause, but we should understand and discuss the potential relationship and how we can avoid that in the future.
Perfectly said. And sexual assault, as we've already said, is a super difficult conversation. It's a complicated topic. Big emotions involved, right? Sometimes it's just the stats speak for themselves. And this stat I really dislike. It's every 68 seconds and an American is sexually assaulted. It's disgusting.
Terrible.
And then, you know, another one is that younger people are at a higher risk of sexual violence, specifically ages 12 to 34. And I know that you guys have a massive, diverse group of customers, because I've been in there and I've seen them. But I feel like, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, that between the ages of 21 and 34 has to be a pretty popular age.
Definitely.
Within your brewery.
Absolutely.
And it's important. I feel like it's important that we reach that group. And I think our partnership does that. Would you agree?
I would. And I would say that's as simple as putting a QR code on the label, right? Because we know that someone might try the beer in the tap room and not get the gist of the partnership, even though it says brewed in collaboration with and in support, right, of the Avalon Center. Someone might see that. Great. They're doing something for a cause. $4 from every four pack sold, you know, goes back donation, but like, they're not going to really get what that means. If they buy the four pack though, and they take that home, I can guarantee you every single person who takes that home is going to, at some point, scan the QR code, go to the website that discusses the relationship between our two organizations and leads you to the Avalon website so that you can learn more. And you know, we'd like to think that leads to potential interest in the messaging, more awareness, obviously, for the topics at hand, and potentially then donor money, involvement, volunteer, or in worst case scenario, knowing what resources are out there. So I think there's a lot of opportunity there, and trying to be somewhat modern for us. Actually, we just started putting these QR codes on our hands. I think this is the second one we've ever done. We've talked about it for a long time. We're finally getting in the rhythm though, because it really is, I think, an easy way to offer a traveling billboard. People grab these four packs from Missouri and they go wherever. I mean, we get visitors from Williamsburg, we get visitors from DC, from North Carolina. I mean, it's the sky's the limit on how far this message is going to go. And so it's a great starting point. And the QR code, I think, also does appeal to a younger audience. I think that's an easy thing. Everyone's got their phones out anyway. There's no reason, you know, how often do you walk into a restaurant and scan a QR code, whether you're supposed to or not, like, ooh, QR code, I'm going to scan that and see what comes up. It's at this point, it's a natural habit, you know what I mean? So I think it's a fun way to engage someone who might not otherwise be looking to be engaged.
Robbie, we're so appreciative of you and your staff. I've been out there multiple times since this process started, which has been a lot of fun. And every single person on your payroll is 100% behind this mission, behind your mission. I think it's they wear it on their sleeves. It's refreshing. It's genuine. And it means a lot to Avalon. It means a lot to all of us. And I hope you know how much we appreciate you. So I kind of wanted to finish off with, I'm going to have to read it because it's long, but it encapsulates everything Virginia Beer Company has as your mission. It says, the Virginia Beer Company was founded with the intention of being a force for good in the form of a brewery. Active philanthropy is at the heart of our business, and we strive to support and build up the community in which we live, brew, and play on a daily basis. And we just appreciate you so much. And on that note, we're going to thank you and your staff for this amazing project. Looking forward to lots more. Thank you so much for coming on, taking your time today.
Absolutely. And if I can just say, you know, right back at you to commend you and your team, everything Avalon does. I mean, it's so impactful. It's so important. And we are looking forward to growing the relationship. And that's how we always envisioned it. It's like, build the relationship from the ground up, start with the passive, you know, pop-ups and little fundraisers in the tap room, get to know the people, and then come up with a project that actually has a story to it. And this really does. And, you know, we loved pouring at your golf tournament recently, and we're looking forward to, you know, whether it's board membership or more collaborations, community hours spent at your facility. We're looking forward to growing that too. And so thank you for everything you're doing for the community, because for better or worse, the community needs it. And we're looking forward to helping you do what you do as long as it's needed.
All of the things. Thanks, Robbie, so much. Take care.
Yeah, cheers.
Avalon Center's podcast, Responding with Hope, is paid for by the Department of Social Services. Avalon Center offers emergency shelter, individual and group counseling, and much more to survivors of domestic and sexual assault. If you need help, call our 24-hour hotline at 833-537-0970 or visit us at avaloncenter.org.